Buzz Bissinger's nonfiction book, Friday Night Lights, is about a high school football team in Texas, and it was the inspiration for a 2004 movie and a current TV series. In both the movie and the NBC drama, the coach's wife is played by the same actress, our guest Connie Britton. Her first film role was in 1994's The Brothers McMullen, and her early TV roles included starring opposite Michael J. Fox in the sitcom Spin City and playing small recurring roles on The West Wing and 24. NBC's Friday Night Lights almost was canceled after three seasons, but a co-production deal with satellite network DirecTV kept it alive for two more years. DirecTV subscribers have seen all of season four already, but on NBC, season four is about halfway through. This season finds Coach Taylor struggling to put together a team at East Dillon High in the poorer part of town. He's been transferred there after a power struggle with the boosters of West Dillon High, where he had been coach of the champion team, the Panthers. Connie Britton's Tammy Taylor is the principal at West Dillon. Our TV critic David Bianculli spoke with Connie Britton and began by playing a scene featuring her as Tammy Taylor and Kyle Chandler as her husband, Eric. He's just come home a little drunk and with a big admission.
I stopped over at the bar and I had a drink and I left the car over there. Alan gave me a ride home, so
if you could take me to get in there, I'd appreciate it. Okay.
You know that check yesterday you asked me about the check for the dry cleaners?
Yeah.
It wasn't for the dry cleaners. It wasn't for $45. It was for Under Armour. It was for gear for the team. And it was for $3,000.
You wrote a check for $3,000? We don't have $3,000 in our checking account.
I know that. But when I wrote the check, it's not a check that's going to be run through right away. So you don't have to worry about it.
Well, I really would have appreciated if you had talked to
me
about
this. Well, I didn't have time to talk to you
about it. You didn't have time to talk to me about it?
No, I didn't have time to talk to you about it. I'm telling you about it now.
Listen, I know you're having a hard time, but come on now. Why would you not talk to me about that?
Listen, if I don't write the check, I don't have uniforms for the team. If I don't have a team, I don't make money anyway, so what the hell does it matter? If I can get the money from Burnwell, who I've been talking to, which I think I can do, everything will be fine. It's just a matter of doing it. I just need time. I'm just telling you for the sake of not...
Don't raise your voice. Don't raise your voice.
I'm not raising my voice. Why don't you just stay calm? Stop getting all riled up.
Okay, you're going to get your damn uniforms, but in the meantime, what about our accounts? You write yourself a check for $3,000 without talking to me about it. You lie to me about it. We don't have that money. And then you come in here and you yell at me? I don't think so.
Connie Britton, welcome to Fresh Air.
Thank you so much.
Your character's relationship with the members of your TV family, your husband and your daughter, is one of the best in all of television. And I just love the tone of that. What's your reaction to hearing it back?
It's also, whatever. We all love our show so much. It's crazy. We're just all goofy about it. We had some problems with that scene when we went to shoot it because it was written much more where Tammy is just kind of like, all right, honey, I understand. You're going through a hard time. Sorry. It's a hard time. And meanwhile, she in that episode is also going through, you know, basically being ostracized by the whole town and whatnot and all this stuff. So they're both going through it. And so we kind of both felt like, well, trying to get to the heart of the reality of it, we wanted to just kind of create it into this little bit of a mess of an argument and have him cop to it. And then he's drunk and I'm pissed and tired and not really let it have a resolution, you know, and then see where we go from there. And, you know, we end up having conversations like, would they go to bed mad, you know, mm-hmm. stuff like that. And that scene's a great example of how we can really mold the stuff that the writers give us, and they give us that freedom to do that and find something that feels really alive in the moments that we're shooting it.
Many people watching the show have admired the marriage between your characters, or maybe even aspired to the marriage. How do you see that marriage, and what do you hope to convey about it?
Well, you know, it's been an exploration for both of us, and I've certainly learned a lot from Kyle because he has been married for a long time, and I think he brought a lot of that to this relationship, and I really agreed about the values of the marriage and of what we were trying to create. You know, we both agreed we did not want this to be a marriage where we were going to be ultimately addressing, you know, infidelity or whatever. We really wanted to deal with the authenticity of what it is to try to make a marriage work. And sure, there's an immediate dramatic effect of, you know, somebody going off and having an affair, but I still maintain that the drama of two people really trying to be in a relationship with each other that is, you know, nourishing and supportive is pretty great drama.
And it's not only husband-wife, but it's parents and daughter. So far, this next scene is, I think, my favorite scene from the entire show. And it's after, I don't know where you rank it, but it's after your character sees your daughter's boyfriend, Matt Sarrazin, buying condoms. And you pull your daughter aside to talk to her about it. And we have, this is you in the scene along with Amy T. Garden, who plays Julie. Here we go.
Are you and Matt Sarrazin having sex?
No. We're thinking about it.
You're thinking about it. Are you thinking about pregnancy? Are you thinking about sexually transmitted diseases?
Well, I mean, obviously, that's why he's buying condoms.
Oh, I see. So you're just buying condoms, and then when you buy condoms, that just makes you ready to make love to somebody, anybody.
Making love.
Don't do that. Don't you smirk at me right now. I am very upset. You are not allowed to have sex. You're 15 years old.
I don't see what the big deal. It's just one body part going into
another. No, it's not. No, it's not. It's not just one body part going into another body part. And the fact that you think that it's just one body part going into another body part makes me real clear on the fact that you really are not ready for this. And I need you to be able to hear that. I need you to be able to hear me say that to you.
I'm listening to you.
Let me tell you what the big deal is. Let me tell you what can happen. What can happen is that you can be hurt. And you can be degraded. And you can become hard and you can become cynical. And I don't want that to happen to you. This is something that's special. It's something that's meant for people who are in love.
Okay, I understand.
And you can wait. I want you to be able to talk to me about it.
Okay, I mean, we're talking, right?
That is such a wonderful scene.
Thank you.
The intensity and the honesty of it. How do you get there as an actress? What can you tell me about filming that scene?
Well, you know, this would be a good time to talk about the general process of our show, because we shoot with three cameras going all the time, which is very unusual. Most film and television shoots with one camera, and so you keep shooting a scene over and over again. We shoot with three cameras, so they're always getting different. They're always getting different angles. So there's a lot, and we never know where the cameras are. We don't rehearse. They don't tell us where to stand, which is what you call having marks. We don't have marks. So there's a real freedom in it, and it's interesting when you just played that. I heard one of my favorite lines in that scene is the line where I say you're not allowed to have sex. You know, as if a mother is allowed to tell it can forbid her daughter from having sex. You know, and in the script that line was in the script, and I remember it was written a little differently in the script, and it was written almost in a, not in a joking way, but almost to, you know, have Tammy look like she's kind of pulling her hair out, like, you're not allowed to have sex, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But because of the way we shoot, and then we had this great director, Allison Liddy Brown, was shooting that episode, and I think she had told Amy T. Garden, who plays Julie, to laugh at me or something, you know, and that really got my goat, you know. So suddenly it went in this whole different direction. And because we had the freedom to do that, we weren't being concerned about where the camera was, where the lights were, where our marks were supposed to be, when we were supposed to say what, at, you know, if there was going to be a camera on us or not, which is a lot of the time what you end up being concerned about when you're shooting TV. So we really just had the freedom to be in that, in those moments, and just play it out. And so it ended up being, and it ended up being a real dramatic thing. And the other thing is I noticed too is the silences, you know, and
yes,
we play a lot with silence in our show. There's room to have those silent moments. We don't have to fill it all with chatter all the time. And I think there's a lot that gets said during those silences.
We've played a scene with you, with your family. I'd like to play one more scene. You know, your character began as a guidance counselor and then became principal of Dylan School and got into a lot of hot water there. And so this is a scene where when you are the school principal of Dylan, you're pushing through the transfer of a star football player to a smaller rival school where your husband now coaches. And one of the Dylan Panther boosters has threatened action if Tammy goes through with it. So you bust in on the next meeting of the Booster Association and confront him, knowing full well that everyone else who's also a booster is eavesdropping with great interest. So here we go.
And then, buddy, are we looking to talk to that...
Sorry, I hate to interrupt. How are you? Good to see you, Sam. Don't mean to interrupt. I just, can I just have a quick word with you, Joe?
Go talk amongst yourselves. I just wanted to make sure that we didn't have any misunderstanding the other day when we had that conversation in the school parking lot, you know, with the golf cart, all that stuff. Mm-hmm. And I just want to make sure I was clear that my decision has been made and is made, and that Luke Cafferty is going to East Dillon High.
Are you clear about what I told you?
Oh, yeah, I think I heard you. You mean about doing an investigation and retroactively taking away Panther state titles? That's the thing you're talking about? Because I just want to actually make sure that you also checked with all these gentlemen here about that, because, as you said, you know, that's going to mean rings being taken away and things like that, and I can bet you there are a lot of rings in this group, you know, family and whatnot. So, you know, you do what you have to do. I know you're going to do what you have to do, but I just want to make sure I had been very clear with you where I stand on it. So I'll let y'all get back to it. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Y'all enjoy.
The booster clip, you know, illustrates such a forceful, charming Southern woman where you go in seemingly unarmed, but you're the equal of not only anyone in there, but everyone in there. And, you know, where does that come from, or how much fun is that to play?
So much fun. And all I know is I know that so that quality so well that I'm sure I probably have a little bit of it myself. They were tough broads. My mother would march herself up to our school and have it out if she thought we weren't getting, you know, she thought they were screwing up in something that we were, you know, some class or something. Mm-hmm. She was like a mother bear. And a lot, you know, these were not women who were just going to sit back and say yes sir, no sir. You know, they were sweet because they knew that that's what they had to do to get their point across in that sort of environment. It's a real interesting thing that happens, I think, to, and just speaking really generally, to women who are in an environment that is considered to be kind of conventional, and that is that they find ways, real subtle ways and personality ways to break out of that or to empower themselves in the face of that. You know, I think that was a lot of it too.
Is it too Freudian to ask if you got influenced or inspired by your own mother?
I was, for sure. Yeah, and actually, strangely, my mother actually was from Connecticut, but we lived a good part of, I mean, most of my life in Virginia, and she lived the last part of her, last half of her life. She passed away, actually, a couple years ago.
Oh, sorry.
In Virginia. And so, and she really took it on, you know, but she really adapted to the Southern world. And so I felt that she, there are a lot of things that I take from her in the character as well. Yeah. And actually, you know what? The truth, timing-wise, she passed away right before we started shooting Friday Night Lights. So I, you know, I've never really thought of this actually until you just asked the question, but I realized being home during that period specifically and seeing, you know, the casserole, the casseroles and the brownies and the cookies that ended up on the front porch daily, and the organization mm-hmm. of the neighbors and the people and how they were going to come together for the family. And so I actually think that experience in particular, in a more fresh way, and being able to be around all those women and then all my high school friends who, of course, all came back and gathered around me, I think really contributed to the character.
It actually makes, you know, Tammy sort of, in one small respect, a way of keeping your mom alive if you started the series uh-huh. right after that.
Yeah, yeah.
So have you ever gotten coached on your accent or corrected for your accent? Or how does that work behind the scene? How'd you nail that?
I have not been coached. You know, I think I'm lucky because I think I have a pretty good ear. And again, being in Austin helps so much. There was one time that I had to say the word pecan. And everybody, and see, these are my coaches, everybody in the crew. They were like, I said it wrong. And by the way, mm-hmm. I can't tell you if it's pecan, or yeah. pecan, which I still right at this moment can't tell you because I kept doing it wrong. And first they laughed at me. And then they said, they kept correcting me over and over again. And I think we may have gotten one take where I actually said it properly in the correct Texas way. But that was tricky.
You couldn't just change it to a different kind of pie?
Oh, gosh, that would have been real smart, wouldn't it have been?
Well, it depends. Yeah, no, I don't know how much money they're spending, but you know, four or five takes in, it could have been a pumpkin pie.
No, in fact, you're right, though. The thing, now that you say that, we had pecan pie. That's what we had, and that's all we had. Just, you know, if we could have made it, you know, lemon meringue, it would have made things a lot simpler.
But I guess if it was the only thing on set,
yep,
that's
exactly.
It. As we speak, NBC is midway through broadcasting season 4, while you're in Texas, if I'm right, filming the final episodes of season 5.
That is right.
Okay. Word is they're intended as a probable finale, but ABC Family has recently acquired rerun rights for the first 5 seasons, and it's not inconceivable they may want more. Is there any chance of a season 6, or do you sense the end is near?
Oh, gosh. I have never in the history of our show felt more confident that the end is near than I do now as we are about to embark on episode 10 of season 5.
And these are 13?
It's 10 out of 13, okay. Exactly. And I actually just read that episode this morning and actually got a little teary because I thought, wow, this does feel like we were ramping up to the end. Everybody is saying that season 5 will be our last. And that said, because of the history of this show, I would not be surprised if suddenly in the 11th hour we were suddenly hearing about a 6th season.
Well, best of luck with whatever is next. And thank you so much for some really great years of television. So, Connie Britton, thank you so much for being on Fresh Air.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Connie Britton spoke with Fresh Air TV critic David Bianculli. She co-stars on NBC's Friday Night Lights. I'm Terry Gross.